This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I am thrilled to be bringing Kathy Sheeran on. I hope I said her name right. She's definitely going to let me know if I didn't. Onto the show today. You know, a few months ago, I had the privilege of participating in a worldwide telesummit. It was called Change Your Life. And there were, I think there were 21 different experts on there. And as I said, I was like totally blown away to be part of that summit. And now I have the honor of bringing Kathy on to share some of her wisdom with you. Kathy is a fellow shamanic practitioner, although she's had a different kind of education than I have had, and she will definitely share that as we move along through here. And she also considers herself a breakthrough coach. I watched a couple of her videos, and something that I loved was, you know, she doesn't call herself a relationship coach or a weight loss coach or anything like that. However, wherever you are on the spectrum, she can help you break through and let go of that which no longer serves your highest good. And with that said, welcome to Soulful Living, Kathy.
Thank you, Terry. I'm really glad to be here. I think this is going to be a fun half hour.
It definitely will be. Okay, so please let me know if I had the pronunciation of your last name correct.
Really close. it's a long I, so it's Sheeran. But
Sheeran.
We're good.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so let's hear a little bit about that background, Kathy. You know, I remember reading somewhere that you were in corporate America. You still have your CPA license, but the big but there, that's not your gig anymore. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I started out I wanted to be the consummate generalist. Leonardo da Vinci was my hero. I wanted to know everything about everything, which, of course, doesn't really qualify you for much of anything. So I thought that business would be a good way, particularly international business, of making that happen. And I ended up getting my CPA license and then doing some international consulting for a few years and then taking a financial position in a major company and doing essentially a lot of what I did all along the way was it was still transformation. It was still change. But it was within a corporate setting. How do you make effective change happen? And, of course, you know, always there's the plug-and-play software kind of answers, but I was much more interested in how do you help people in that situation, help them make more effective change for themselves and for the organization within an organizational context. So that's where I got introduced to the whole concept of change, but it was more the left-brain organizational concept. And then I met a shaman, and he introduced me to the whole area of, call it transformational magic, energy work, energy healing, the personal growth work that comes with doing that kind of work. And so I had this whole, here was my livelihood on one side, the left brain kind of transformation, and here was my volunteer and personal work on the other side. I helped co-create and facilitate transformational events, but that was sort of my right brain life. And I was sort of hemispherically lobotomized, you know, the two didn't really link. And so I finally said, you know what? What I really want is to work in the area of transformation. And I quit corporate and really focused on how do I help create that in the world for people who want to create positive, powerful change and find themselves stuck somewhere in that process.
And, you know, somewhere along the line in our lives, we all find ourselves stuck. And to have somebody in your corner that can help you break through, I love that word, that can help you break through that is really amazing. And the fact that you have begun that practice on so many different levels is really incredible. You know, you do the telesummits. I've seen your videos. You've make yourself available to anyone on whatever level they're at. And that's important.
Well, that's where the breakthroughs happen. It's you can't, I think the place everybody has to start is exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And so you don't really create change unless you're standing firmly exactly where you are and get a clear view of what your options are and what may be blocking you. And then, okay, from that point, we can create forward motion, but we can't start from where we aren't. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Half the time, we don't even know. You know, we have no clue where we're at. So how do you help people that are stuck, that don't necessarily, you know? You know, they realize that there's things happening in their lives, but they're not sure what the hurdles are. Like, are there specific questions that you ask and different tactics that you might include to help them determine the areas that they need to focus on most?
I tell people that there's no cut and dried answers to any of this in my work, because where everybody gets stuck is their own unique place to be, and they get stuck for their own unique reasons. So it usually just starts with a conversation about what they're frustrated by, what their experience is, what's going on. So there's sort of two types of information that I bring to it, that whole brain approach again. One side is, okay, let's talk about the external, what's going on, what you're experiencing, what you're feeling. And that has, you know, I have lots of skills and techniques and trainings that help bring that to it. But there's a point where I really have to listen to what isn't being said. And it's not because they're hiding it, but largely because they're usually unconscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where the shamanic work comes in. That's where I hear or experience or get information that is unique to that individual that may not be what they have, that they understand in their own head about what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with somebody recently who is having an issue with, I have worked with people, for example, who have MS, and that's a valid thing that goes on, but in some cases, it's an epigenetics, which is a brain science thing, now that the brain science is catching up to the power of shamanism, which I think is hysterical. And lots of times, if there's a family rage coming down the DNA lineage, that in an unconscious way, a person will become ill to immobilize themselves, so as not to act out on the rageful energy that exists in the family system.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you can clear that, if you can resolve that rage, you can have an impact on the disease.
So in essence, it's clearing what some would consider ancestral karma.
Yes, that's correct. That's one way of languaging it. It's not the way I usually do it, but yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, You're working to clear the ancestral karma, the ancestral baggage, in order for the client to step forward into being who they are. And, I mean, we all have that. We all have that that ancestral baggage that we carry with us. And as you said, sometimes it's on an unconscious or subconscious level, and we're not aware of it. We cannot even see it. So as a shamanic practitioner, how do you do that? Do you do that through a shamanic journey or intuitively? How do you do that?
Well, I hate to give the same answer, but it kind of like it depends on each person. Sometimes I use shamanic journey. Sometimes I use something called constellation work, which is about moving current life burdens back up the ancestral chain to where they belong. Because when energy gets out of alignment in the ancestor lineage, it actually weakens the line, and then life doesn't go on well for the living. So there's a process of acknowledging that that burden is being carried, that the burden was passed along not out of debt but out of love, that children take it on from parents and so on and so forth, attempting to, in magical thinking, alleviate the parent from the suffering, which of course never works. It just perpetuates the suffering. Mm-hmm. And that when you can get conscious of the burden and pass it back up the line to where it belongs, and there's a process for doing that, that it actually strengthens the whole line because you return the energy to where it belongs in the system. And mm-hmm. by strengthening the line, you strengthen the life energy that comes to you as the living incarnation of the lineage, and you relieve yourself of the burden that's weighing you down. So there's a twofold benefit to the process.
And isn't it a great honor to be able to do this work and to help people heal?
Absolutely. It's stepping into that kind of work. I call it facilitating because it's a process that wants to happen anyway. You know, people mm-hmm. want to live a good life. They want to live well. They want to succeed. They want to pass on good things to their children. It's all part of the process. And so sometimes those energies get entangled. And when you can stand in a place of facilitation and service and say, I'm just here to help what wants to happen anyway come into being so that life can go on well for the living, it's humbling and it's intensely gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, humbling is such a great word for that. I agree 100%. You know, I many times will think of myself as a facilitator, an interpreter, all for healing. Although I think that individually we are healing ourselves, as you said, you're facilitating the process, which is really beautiful. And when I witness it among my own clients, I'm in awe every time. Every time mm-hmm. that I work with somebody, I am in awe of the process and the deep connection with spirit or whatever you want to call it, you know, spirit, energy, whatever. This, the awareness to be able to offer that facilitation and provide such a deep, deep, lasting change for people around the world. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And I say around the world because you do not have to be face-to-face with a client, right?
No, not at all. I work over the phone or over Skype almost entirely.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that just validate and confirm the power of energy?
Totally.
And transference. You know, that you can do it anywhere.
You can. And when you're working in the shamanic realms, it's kind of like you don't need to be geographically next door. I mean, you can see things, you can experience things, that all you have to have is a connection, mm-hmm. not a physical presence.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So listeners, again, I am chatting with Kathy Shiern. She is a transformational shaman and a breakthrough coach. You can find all of her information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. Her websites will all be up there, as well as a link to her most recent summit. And Kathy, when you first got into this work, you know, for people that might be on the fence of working shamanically, working energetically, how did you embrace it, you know, and did you dive right in? You know, I remember reading about your doctorate and your work in ritual and ceremony. So did you dive right in and say, yeah, this is it? Or were you somewhat on the fence?
Oh, I was a fence.
Was there significant, was there something significant that happened to change how you looked at it?
I hit a place in my life where I was just so unhappy. You know, things just weren't working. I was unhappy in my work. I was unhappy in my life. And I didn't have any idea of how to fix it. I'd seen a therapist. That wasn't really the issue. I had tried some self-help kinds of courses. I tried a number of things. And I was just still really unhappy. And like I said, the universe intervened and I was introduced to the shaman in this process. And I came out of left brain land. I mean, I was a corporate type. I was a CPA type. I grew up grounded in the land. I was a farmer's daughter kind of thing. And so all of a sudden I was being asked to see this other world, you know, to experience this other place. And I always prided myself on having an open mind. You know, at the time, it was one of the things I was proud about. I have an open mind. I've worked internationally. I'm culturally open, et cetera. And so I told myself that by judging this other experience, that I was closing my mind and that that was against my values. So I tricked myself. I tricked my brain with this little phrase. I told myself, I don't have to believe. That was, you know, equating to the part that was like, what? All this stuff is crazy. I don't have to believe. I merely have to suspend disbelief.
Ooh, that gave me chills. Because, I like that.
Yeah, disbelief was the judgment. It was the closed-mindedness. So I didn't have to believe. I didn't tell myself I had to believe it. I just had to suspend disbelief to be open to the experience. And that was the gateway. Everything came from that.
And so you later went on to get your doctorate.
Yes, I did that.
That's a challenge. You know, I'm like considering going back to school right now. And I told my husband the other day, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I'm 53. Do I really want to dig in?
Well, a doctorate, if I'd have known what was involved in getting a doctorate before I actually started the program, I don't think I would have done it.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No, I'm serious. I was halfway through it before I realized that it was all about, and this is my own, it's like, duh. Before I realized that a doctorate is all about proving that you can appropriately structure and conduct research. It's not really about your content. And of course, I was all enamored about my content, right? I'm studying ritual, I'm studying transformation. And it was all about the research. So it was, fortunately for me and for the world, I think, in a way, I was far enough through it and I'm doggone stubborn that I said, I don't care, I'm going to finish it anyway. I got through the process and completed it. But the interesting part was my committee quit several times. My doctoral committee, when I finally got a committee that stuck with me to the end, I finally understood what was happening because the committee that was there at the end said, reading your work changed us. Mm-hmm. And the previous committee members who had quit said, oh, this is changing people and we don't think it's properly safeguarded and blah, blah, blah. We don't want to be affiliated. And what they were actually saying was, what I finally understood was, this is changing us and it scares us. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be part of this. And the interesting part was I was studying a ritual experience, a 5-day ritual experience that I was documenting what the rituals were and then a 2-year study of the people who had gone through it to see what was different in their lives. And it was just reading about that, just reading about it, that was changing them and bringing into question the choices they had made in their own lives and making them look at where they were unhappy and giving over their power to others and what they wanted to do about it.
And sometimes that fear is debilitating, and obviously it was enough to make them say, nope, not even going to look at it.
Absolutely.
Walking away and keeping them stuck.
Fear is the big stick point. I mean, that's the one that gets in our way at all times. And it's actually the brain is wired to be afraid of change, even if it's good change, because the base brain back there can't tell good from bad kind of thing. It just says, danger, Will Robinson, there's change happening here. And it kicks out the fear response, you know, fight, or freeze, I think are the three F's that go with that. Mm-hmm. And so they engaged the flight mechanism. They ran away.
Right. So do you use ritual and ceremony in your teachings now?
I was doing it sort of covertly for a while, you know, in, because it, you know, as your people may very well know, I've been doing this kind of work for over 20 years, and you couldn't, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years ago you said shaman, people thought you were out in the desert, you know, chewing on mushrooms or something.
Right. Give me that
even
stuff.
The word, yeah, even the transformation word in the last has only become really acceptable within the last 5 years or so. So there was a, mm-hmm. I was using what I had learned to good effect, but notice I say I'm a breakthrough coach is where it got started, because I didn't call things ritual and I didn't call them ceremony. I used what I knew. I used what I learned in the dissertation and what 20 years of experience taught me, but mm-hmm. I wasn't being overt about it until recently. Mm-hmm. And then recently I started talking more openly about ritual and about energy and about what you said, ancestral karma, and about clearing energetic blocks to change, as well mm-hmm. as the more traditional blocks to change.
Right.
And that has engendered a lot of interest.
Well, one of the things that I, after the conversation with you on the Change Your Life Summit, and we talked briefly, like maybe 1 second about ritual and ceremony. And one of the things that I got from that conversation was, it's almost like creating a sacred routine. You know, people kind of get, they become fearful around the word ceremony and ritual for whatever reasons. And so I started thinking about creating sacred routines. And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean to create a sacred routine? And I thought of you as I was thinking about that process. I think that more and more we need to embrace the sacredness at the ceremony, the ritual of even the little small things in our lives. And I really appreciated that conversation that we had a few months ago. And so do you think that people become afraid of the word, you know, ritual and ceremony because of the religious affiliations with that?
Most words that we commonly recognize carry cultural baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And ritual is one of those words. So mm-hmm. It carries cultural baggage, and depending on your context for it, it may say things to you that aren't what I mean when I use it, which is why when you get into transformational space, some of the time is making sure that we're working from similar definitions of terms.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, I look at ritual in two different ways. There's a traditional definition that says it's something you do the same way each time.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of rituals, for example, I train people in how to create safe and sacred states.
Mm-hmm.
So how to create a space that they can do work within that's well guarded, feels safe, feels solid, feels anchored in a powerful way. And that is, once you teach somebody how to do that, then it's strengthened by repetition, which is mm-hmm. a traditional definition of ritual. Within that space, then, I also teach people how to and take them through, guide them through processes whereby they're doing work that's more transformational and more uniquely defined to them. So mm-hmm. I have what I call basic frameworks, like the safe and sacred space. And then I have specific frameworks that are within what they're doing. A real quick example is if there's an energetic that you're working with, say, an element of, say, power, okay, that you have an issue with power in your life, that within that safe and sacred space, there's a process of bringing power into that space in a way that you can interact with it externally, but still in a safe way. And then there's a point past which, when you do enough work with it in the external, that you've done enough healing, you're ready to reintegrate it, to take it back into you, but the healed version of it back into you. And so you have an initiation or an integration and bring it back into yourself. And then you do some work with it internally so that it becomes well anchored within you and you have a much healthier orientation towards your own power and how your power is manifested in the world.
So that's a specific
framework.
We are going to have to continue this conversation in another interview for our listeners as we are down to the wire. We've got about 30 seconds left, and I would love for you to give the listeners a thought they can take out into the day to recognize and celebrate their own power.
If you are alive on the planet today, and you must be if you're listening to this, there's a reason for you being here. Please, 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 if you are stuck in fear, in not moving forward, find someone who can support you, whoever that is, and help you move into your purpose, because we are all in need of what you bring.
That was amazing. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy Shiron, Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. Thank you.